If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
The Kennedy Center honors were last night, and as always, pretty good show, huh, Dean?
Yeah, it really was a fantastic show. The honors themselves actually took place 2 weeks ago, and they always broadcast it a little bit closer to Christmas, and the broadcast was last night. And this year's inductees for these very prestigious awards that salute people who have made significant contributions to the arts in America include director and producer Francis Ford Coppola, singer-songwriter Bonnie Raitt, trumpeter and jazz pianist Arturo Sandoval, rock legends The Grateful Dead, and for the first time ever, an institution was honored with the Kennedy Center, and that would be New York's Apollo Theater Center. And here's a few of the highlights of people who are doing tribute performances. One of the greatest was Brandi Carlile paying tribute to Bonnie Raitt.
It's impossible to keep up with Francis Ford Coppola. While we're reacting to the past and riding the zeitgeist of the present, he's somewhere off in the future.
There's an oft-told story about how Francis fought for me to be the godfather, and that's true. But there's a little more to it. Yes, Francis did fight to keep me and others, but he was fighting most for his films and his vision.
Tonight, we create another historic moment as the Apollo becomes the first institution to receive a Kennedy Center honor.
Fantastic tribute, an all-star tribute from some of the biggest names in jazz and Latin jazz for Arturo Sandoval. You heard Robert De Niro in there and Al Pacino. You heard Queen Latifah. But I'm telling you what, go back and listen to that version of the Bonnie Raitt song, I Can't Make You Love Me, that Brandi Carlile sang. You will have goosebumps listening to the song. I've always loved the song anyway, but Brandi Carlile did an amazing job last night. The whole special is streaming on Paramount Plus if you want to watch the whole thing if you missed it last night.
Saturday Night Live went out with a bang as well over the weekend, didn't they?
Another their last show of the year is always a great one. Martin Short hosted the show. This was the fifth time that he hosted it, so that put him into the very prestigious and star-studded five-timers club that brought out superstars last night. Tom Hanks was there. Paul Rudd was there for the opening. Tina Fey. Kristen Wiig was part of it. Melissa McCarthy, hilarious. Here's a little sampling of the opening monologue.
Martin Short,
congratulations, Marty. Honestly, this is such an accomplishment. Hello, Kristen. Emma, I hope you're not expecting a repeat of what happened when I saw you last time. I'm not that girl anymore. And I'm not that drunk, but you should know, I'm getting close. Good. Now.
Let's raise a toast, shall we?
Oh, is there anything non-alcoholic?
Do you mean drinks or people? Because either way, no.
John Mulaney at the end there was in rehab asking for something, non-alcoholic. Melissa McCarthy, they did a film sketch about road rage, two people fighting for the same parking space.
Yeah, very timely.
Martin, yeah, no kidding. There's going to be a lot of that going on today. Martin Short, but Melissa McCarthy stole the show. I can't even describe what exactly happened during that.
You got to see it.
Go and watch it if you want to die laughing.
And they're doing a big 3-hour primetime special for the 50th anniversary next year, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's in February. You know they're going to bring out the big guns for that. That's going to be amazing.
February 16. Tell us about REO's farewell in Las Vegas over the weekend.
I can't believe it that REO doesn't exist. They started off in Champaign-Urbana in 1967. They went on to worldwide success. They've been going strong all these decades. And then about a year ago, the bassist for the group went in for some pretty extensive back surgery, and the recovery did not go as well as Bruce Hall thought it might go. They waited for about a year, so you know the band was having some difficulty of how do we resolve this, what do we do? There were, quote, irreconcilable differences between the bassist, Bruce Hall, and the frontman, Kevin Cronin. So they announced that the band would no longer exist. They did their final show at the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas with a 15-song set. This is not from the actual final performance, but certainly will bring back some fantastic memories. Such a fantastic band, such great songs, and such nice guys. Every time that I had the opportunity to talk with them, they could not have been nicer. So while I'm sad that REO will no longer exist, I am happy to report to you that Kevin Cronin has said that he will continue to perform the band's songs. He is the voice of REO. He will continue just on his own. Legally can no longer use the name REO Speedwagon. It starts to get a little ugly with the lawyers getting involved.
Of course. Yeah, he'll be on the road next summer with Styx and Don Felder. My favorite REO Speedwagon memory, when I was at Channel 2 doing a story on them, I think it was the 6 o'clock news, Harry Porterfield anchoring and introduced the segment as now Bob Surratt talks with REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, well, that's reasonable. Yeah,
that was nice
that's
moment.
That's reasonable. I was on vacation once in Napa Valley and enjoying all the, the wonderful things of Napa Valley, all the great food and all the great wine. And we had gone to a restaurant, and you know, there was like a half an hour waiting list. So we got some wine, we're sitting, and we're listening to a band that was playing in the next area. And the songs were all familiar. I went over there. It was REO Speedwagon. they were performing. We got a little extra treat of a free REO concert that night.
Not bad. Okay, we're ready for the Bob Dylan movie. Tell us more.
I cannot wait. I'm going to give you the full review on this tomorrow, but it's going to be nothing but accolades for this new movie, A Complete Unknown. It's one of the best of the year. I think that when it comes down to it, when we start talking about Oscar nominations, that this movie, A Complete Unknown, and its star, Timothée Chalamet, who plays Bob Dylan in the movie, will both be nominated. I think that Edward Norton is going to be nominated, many of the cast members, because the movie is just that good. It's the story of the early days of Bob Dylan, him starting out in the early 60s on the folk music scene. I sat down and talked with Timothée recently, last couple of weeks or so, And we talked about him taking on this role. You know, Dylan's a very impersonated sort of guy. Everybody thinks they can do a Bob Dylan impersonation. Timothy had to figure out a way to do this without making it seem comical, and he kind of walked me through the process.
Dylan is maybe one of the most imitated people, but really kind of capturing the essence of his soul in his songs. How'd you prepare for that?
These songs were and are deeply moving to me, and they've helped shape me the way Kid Cudi's music helped shape me in my teenage years. You know, this is the guy to me. And like you said, has been deeply impersonated, but I would say to my generation, hasn't been. The pre-records we had done in L.A. didn't sound as good as when I was doing it on set, because you had the gift of the actual vintage microphones that were used at the time, and the gift of the reverb that existed in, you know, a big theater as opposed to what it would sound like at the Gaslight, where it was more enclosed. And you had the gift of, you know, fantastic background performers that are giving you, you know, that are sort of having the dialogue with you in a song. You know, Talking John Birch's Paranoid Blues isn't in the movie. You know, we shot a version of that, but, you know, having the audience reaction to the whimsical nature of that song as opposed to the almost violent reaction to, like, a Rolling Stone at Newport, you know, that stuff you can't really do in a studio. This period of the movie, 61 to 65, particularly 61 to 63, you know, little exists of Bob. Obviously, you know, in the footage of Don't Look Back or Newport Folk Festival in 64, you know, stuff had percolated at that point, but the early stuff, you know, very, very little exists in those early years.
Could you relate in any way to the story of Dylan going from a young artist appearing in small clubs to suddenly becoming a worldwide phenomenon, to your own path of success? Were you able to bring some of that into this?
Yes, but I couldn't do so explicitly. You know, I couldn't put it into words. I think it's more just an experience, and also different because I'm not a musician, but definitely without being too, you know, definitive as an answer, because he damn sure wouldn't. I could definitely relate to that. You know, it goes without saying.
Yeah, that you're going to go to this movie and be treated to a really interesting story of how Bob Dylan first got started. You're going to recognize many of the characters, the performers in here, but the music, this is, you know, if you are of a certain age, this is the soundtrack of your life in this movie.
Dean, until we meet again in 2025, I will take this opportunity to say thanks for everything, and I hope you have a terrific Christmas and New Year celebration.
Thank you, Bob, to you and Marianne. Same wishes. Have a safe holiday. And to all of our listeners, I hear all the time that people enjoy our segments every morning. Happy holidays to everybody. We really appreciate you listening.